Tonight's shear is a 3 weeks topic, and the title of the shear tonight is Reaction to a Burnt Sefer Torah. So tonight we're going to look at a topic that's relevant to Shivas Arba Tamas and also Tisha B'Av, and you'll see why. So if we look in source number one, so the reason why I chose this topic, or one of the reasons, is based on this Rambam. And it's in Hilchos Tainus, Perek He, and it says as follows. It's the middle of the Halacha Ve'iluhin. Yom, these are the fast days, the public fast days of the Jewish people. Yom Shlishi B'Tishrei, Shabo Nera Gedalia Ben Achikam. So it's talking about the first one mentioned is the third day of Tishrei. That's Tzom Gedalia. Gedalia was killed. V'nich Beis Gachelis Yisrael Hanishara V'Sibev Lahasam Galuson. So they were extinguished, the flame of the Jewish people, and they were sent into exile. Va'asiri b'teves shabo samach melch bavel nevuchanetzar harasha al Yerushalayim behivia b'matzor uv'matzok. So the 10th of Teves is the reason why we fast, is because Nebuchadnezzar formed a siege around Yerushalayim. V'shivas arba tamuz, and also the 17th of Tamuz, which is the beginning of the three-week period. V'chamisha dvarim irubo. There are five things that happen on Shivas arba tamuz that cause us to fast on Shivas arba tamuz. And what are they? Number one is Nishtabru HaLuchos. So the first one is that the Luchos were broken. Ubatel HaTamid Mibayis Rishon. So the second one is that the Korban Tamid, they stopped bringing it by the first base of Mikdash. V'huvka Yerushalayim B'Korban Sheini. And in the second base of Mikdash, the Yerushalayim was broken into on Shivas Arba Tamuz. V'saraf Afastomus HaRasha Esatora. The fourth one is that Apostomos, who is a Rasha, burned the Torah, Vehemid Selem Beheichal. And the fifth one is that they put an idol in the Heichal in the Beis HaMikdash. So the fourth one is that Apostomos, HaRasha, burnt the Torah. So that's one of the reasons why we fast on Shivas Arba Tamuz. And just a little bit of history over there. Apostomos, the reason why it was so bad, was part of the reason was because he took Ezra's Torah, which everyone used to copy off of Ezra's Torah in order to have the most accurate Torah. So that was the Torah that he burned, Apostomos. So it was a particularly heinous act by him burning the Torah, and that's one of the reasons why we fast on Shivas Arba Tamuz. So in thinking about that case, I started looking into a halacha with regard to the burning of a Sefer Torah. So we see from Shivas Arba Tamuz, by the special case of Apostomos, that they were nigzar, they were decreed a fast day as a result of this burning of the Sefer Torah. But there's another halacha in the Gemara in Moed Katan that we're going to see in source number two, which relates to the burning of a Sefer Torah and how you're supposed to react to the burning of a Sefer Torah. So if you look in source number two, and this is really the main focus of the shir, it's Moed Katan Daf Chaf Vav Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says that there's a mitzvah to tear your clothes when you see a Sefer Torah that's burnt. So tearing your clothes is called kriya, and usually, typically, we do this in avelis for your parents, for any relative. There's a mitzvah to tear your clothes, and the Gemara says, based on the Mishnah, that Sefer Torah shenisraf, that you have to do kriya, you have to tear your clothes. So the question is, where do they learn this from? Sefer Torah, so look in source number two. Sefer Torah shenisraf minalan. So where do you know that if a Sefer Torah is burnt, you have to do kriya, you have to tear your clothes? Dichsiv, as it says in Yirmiyahu, Vayhi kikro Yehudi shalosh delasos v'arba yikra'e b'sar ha-sofer v'ashlecha la'esh asher al ha'ach. So there's a pasuk that the Gemara is going to analyze, but the pasuk says that when Yehudi read three stanzas, he cut out with a penknife of a sofer, so a knife of a scribe, he cut it out, and he threw it into the fire by the fireplace, into the fireplace. So what exactly is this referring to? So the Gemara is going to explain. So let's keep going in the Gemara. It says, "My shalosh delasos ve'arba." What does that mean? What are these three stanzas and four? Look in Rashi, in source number three. He says, "Kloma arba psukim." So shlosh glossos v'arba means about four psukim. So what four psukim did this person read and destroy and burn? So amru le Yehoyakim. So they said to Yehoyakim, who is the melech, the king at that time, kus of Yirmiyahu sefer kinos, the Yirmiyahu wrote Eicha, and Yehoyakim, the melech of the Jewish people, was told this. Amar Lahu, so he said to them, Mak Sivbe, what's written in this Echa? So they started reading from the beginning of Echa. It says, Echa Yashva Badad, alas, how she sits in solitude. So Amar Lahu, he said back, Yehoyakim said, Anamalka, I'm the king, meaning this isn't going to happen. He was, the Echa was predicting really bad things, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of Yerushalayim. And the beginning of Echa is talking about the solitude of Echa Yashva Badad, Ha'ir Abasi Am. So it's talking about the solitude of Yerushalayim and the Jewish people. And Yehoyakim's response was, I'm the king. Anamalka, Rashi says, V'amlecha loksiv klum. So there's nothing about my malchus. And basically he was saying that I'm the king, this isn't going to happen. Amrule, they said back to him, Bachosiv Kebalila. Then they read the next pasuk that they cry, they weep, you'll weep at night. Anamalka, he responded the same thing, I'm the king, this isn't going to happen. I'm in control and nothing like this is going to happen. Galsi Yehuda Me'oni. And then the next pasuk, it says that Yehuda was exiled from suffering. Anamalka, he responded the same way, I am the king. Darchei Tzion Avilus. And then the paths of Tzion are mourning. Anamalka, same thing. He said, I am the king. And then finally, Hayutza Re'al Larosh. Then the next pasuk that they read is that your adversaries are going to be in charge, meaning that you're no longer going to be the king. So finally, they read from Echa the part where it says that the Jewish people aren't going to have sovereignty. And Amar Lahu, so Yehoyakim said, Man Amra, who says this? Ki Hashem Hoga Rob Shaya. They read the rest of the pasuk, which is that Hashem has spoken this because of the many sins and transgressions of the Jewish people. So basically, so just to summarize up to this point, Yehoyakim was the melech of the Jewish people at that time, and Yirmiyahu had written Echa, and it was predicting all these future bad things, and they were reading it to him, and he kept saying, I'm the king, this isn't going to happen. And then finally, he wants to know, you know, what's the source for this? And they say, based on the pasuk, Hashem. Miyad, so what does he do? Kadar kol askar shabav asar from Beish. So he cuts out with this knife all of the Shem Hashems, all of the names of Hashem, and he throws them into the fireplace. And how is this a proof that you're chayv in Kriya? Where do we learn that you're chayv to tear your clothes when you see this burning? Vahinu dichsiv, so they learn now from this pasuk, v'lo pachtu v'lo karu esbigdehem, that the king and his servants, they weren't scared, they weren't afraid of what was written in Echa, and they didn't rip their clothes. Mechlal debo lemikra. So you learn out from the fact that they didn't rip their clothes that you're chayev to rip your clothes. Whenever you see a Sefer Torah burning, or if you see the Shem Hashems with parchment on parchment burning, you're chayev to tear your clothes. So this is the source for the idea that you're supposed to do kriya, that you're supposed to tear when you see the burning of a Sefer Torah. So obviously the question is, before, you know, we're going to move forward and read through this Gemara and then we'll define it. But the question is, what kind of idea or what kind of source and concept is it of doing Kriya when you see a burning Sefer Torah? What is the reason behind the need to do Kriya? And it's a funny type of limud. It's a funny learning because they're not learning from a positive Kriya. They're learning from the lack of Kriya. So why do they learn it from the lack of Kriya? Is there an idea that we could derive from the fact that the Gemara is learning out the Chi of Kriya, the obligation to do Kriya, from the fact that Yehoyakim and his servants did not do Kriya when they were burning the Sefer Torah? So what is that idea? So let's go on. There's really 3 points in this Gemara, so I'll summarize it and then we'll define it. So the second point is, Amar le Rapapa l'Abaye. So Rapapa said to Abaye, Emar mishum shmuos haros. So maybe you're chayv to do Kriya because of all the horrible things that were predicted in Echa, that it's such bad news that you're chayv to do Kriya. Rashi, look at Rashi, the fourth line, he says, Mishum shmuos haros, ala galus yibay lemikra. When you hear about the fact that the Jews are going to be removed from Eretz Yisrael and go into Galus, perhaps that is the source for the obligation to do Kriya, not the fact that the Torah was burning. So Amar Lei, so he said back, Shmuos Ra'os Bahi Shaita Mihavu. At that time, nothing bad had happened yet. So this is just a prediction, and they could have done tshuva and stopped it from happening. So there's no reason to do Kriya just because you hear about something that's going to happen in the future. Only when it happens, when it actually happens, should you do Kriya. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Chalbo, Amar Rav Huna. So Rabbi Chalbo said in the name of Rav Huna, Haroa Sefer Torah Shenikra Chayav L'Kroa Shtei Kriyos. So if you see a Sefer Torah that's torn up, but it means burnt, you're Chayav to do two Kriyos. Not just one Kriya, but two Kriyos. Why? Echad al Gvil, the Echad al Ksav. One that you have to do for the parchment, and the other one you have to do for the writing itself. So this is the second funny idea. The first interesting point in the Gemara is that there is a chi of kriya, and they learn it out from a lack of kriya by Yehoyakim and his servants. The second point is that you have to do two kriyos, so you have to tear twice. One kriya is for the parchment, and the other kriya is for the ksav, for the writing on the Torah. Shenamar, as it says, Acharei saraf ha-melech ha-samagila v'esa devarim. So the pasuk says that after the king burned the Megillah, which is the parchment, like Rashi says, and the Devarim and the words, which is the Ksav. Okay, so there's two ideas here, two points. One is that you're chayev to tear your clothes, specifically by your heart, you're supposed to tear it, tear your clothes when you see the burning of a Sefer Torah and a burnt Sefer Torah. And the second idea is that you're chayev to tear twice, two krios. One is for the parchment, and the other one is for the writing of the Sefer Torah. So the question is, why you chayev two krios? First, why you chayev one kriya, but then why you chayev two as well? Finally, there's one other point. There's a story here, interesting story. So the story says like this. Rabbi Abba of Rav Huna Bar Chiya havu yosvi kamei de Rabbi Abba. So they were sitting, Rav Abba and Rav Huna Bar Chiya were sitting in front of Rav Abba. Bo'u la'afnuye. So he wanted to go to the bathroom to relieve himself. Shakle letotse achase abe sadya. He took off his tefillin and put it on a cushion. Asai bas na mesa, ba'al demivle, an ostrich came along and wanted to swallow up the tefillin. So Omar, he said, hashda yichayvin li shtei krios, now I'm chayev to, I could have been chayev to tear twice because the tefillin would have been destroyed. So Omar le, minolacha. So they said, where do you know this from? Vaha bididi hava ovda. So the same thing happened to me. So there's two stories where there was an ostrich that came to try to eat up the tefillin. And he said, the same thing happened to me. I asked Rav Masna. He didn't know the answer. Then I asked Rav Yehuda, what should I have done if that would have happened? If the ostrich would have swallowed up my tefillin, what should my response have been? The Amr Ali, and he said, Hachi Amar Shmuel, lo Amru el Bizroach Masu Shahaya. So the answer was that you're only chayiv to do kriya, you're only chayiv to tear your clothes if the Sefer Torah is destroyed or burnt forcefully, like in the story that happened with the king Yehoyakim. But if the Sefer Torah is not destroyed forcefully, if it's just an accident, then you're not chayiv to tear your clothes, to do kriya. So that's the end of the Gemara. So let me just summarize the Gemara up to this point. So the Gemara says three points. The first point in the Gemara is that when you see a Sefer Torah burning or a burnt Sefer Torah, you're chayiv to do kriya, you're chayiv to tear your clothes in distress, much like you would tear for avelus when you're in mourning. So the question is why? The Gemara learns it out from the story of Eicha, that Yehoyakim burnt up Eicha, but he and his servants, it says they weren't scared and they didn't tear their clothes. So the first question that we're going to have to answer is, what is the idea of tearing for the burning of a Sefer Torah? And furthermore, why do they learn it out from a lack of tearing? Why don't they learn it out from the Torah and Tanakh never mention a positive idea of kriya? It's only from the fact that they didn't do kriya. So why is that the limud? It's a strange type of limud. The second question is the second point in the Gemara, which is that you're not chayav one kriya, but you're chayav two. One kriya is for the gvil, which is the klaf, and the other kriya is for the ksav. Why are you chayav two kriyos? Why not just one for the destruction of a Sefer Torah? Why do you have to tear your clothes twice? And then the third question is, based on the story in the Gemara, the last story mentions that there is a havamina, there is a thought that even if a Sefer Torah gets destroyed accidentally, if a bird eats it up, there's a story where an ostrich came to eat up the tefillin, and he thought that you'd be chayav kriya, kamash mulan. The Gemara is teaching us in the end of the Gemara that you're only chayav kriya when the Torah is destroyed forcefully, and when it's forceful and it's when it's deliberate and forceful, that's when you're chayav kriya, but when it's not deliberate and forceful, you're not chayav kriya. So why not? Why aren't you chayav kriya if you find a Sefer Torah or if the Sefer Torah was destroyed by accident? So why are you not chayav kriya? Those are all the questions. Okay? So before we answer any of these questions, I feel like we should go through some of the halachos in the Rambam and then we'll define it. Okay? So before we do the Rambam in source number 4, just look at the pasuk. The pasuk, which is the first point, is the limud. How do we know that you're chayav to do kriya, to tear your clothes when you see the burning of a Sefer Torah or a burnt Sefer Torah from this pasuk? Look in source number 4. V'lo pachdu, v'lo karu es bigdeyam, hamelech v'chol avadav hashomim es kol dvar ma'ele. So the Melech, the king, and all his servants, they weren't scared of Eicha when they heard Eicha and how the Jewish people were going to go into exile was going to be terrible, and they did not tear their clothes. So the lima that you're chayv to tear your clothes is learned out from the fact that they didn't do it and they should have done it. So what exactly is this limud? Why is the Gemara learning out the chi of kriya from the fact that the servants and the king did not do kriya? It's an interesting limud as to why you're supposed to do kriya, that you're learning it out from the lack of kriya. So what is that idea? So that's the question. Okay. So I want the people on the phone line, if they have any points or they want to add anything, just we're going to do the Rambams, and then hopefully if anybody has an idea or an answer to any of the questions, you know, please share on the, you know, on the phone line. So the next move in the shir is the Rambams. The Rambam brings us down the halacha. So don't think that this is just all theoretical, that when you see a burnt sefer Torah, which was the story from Eicha, that you're supposed to do kriya. It's not theoretical. It's halachic. So if you look in the Rambam in source number 5, and he gives us some insight, it's based on the Gemara itself, he gives us insight into what the kriya is. It says in source number 5, it's Hilchos Avel, Perek Tes Halacha Beis. Kederech shekorea adam al aviv alimo kach chayev likro al rabo shalom du Torah. So just like you're chayev to tear your clothes if your parents die, so too you're chayev to tear if your Rebbe dies. If your Rebbe who taught you Torah dies, you're chayev to do kriya. Okay? V'al ha-nasi v'al av beistin. You're also chayev to do kriya when the nasi dies and the av beistin. V'al rovat tzibor shenerag. If most of the tzibor is killed, you're chayev to do kriya. V'al birkas Hashem. And also, if somebody curses Hashem's name. V'al sefer Torah shenisraf. And also, on a sefer Torah that's burnt. V'al ari Yehuda v'al Yerushalayim v'al mikdash. And the last halachos, which are also practical, which is that whenever you see Yerushalayim in a destroyed state, or when you see the Har Habayis without the Mikdash, you're also supposed to do Kriya. So the Rambam categorizes the mitzvah of Kriya on the Sefer Torah that's burnt with all these other Kriyos. So you have to understand, you know, what the nature of the Kriya is. Is there a relationship between the Kriya and the Sefer Torah and all these other Kriyos? So it's another question to add to the bucket of questions that we have so far. Okay? So let's just see the Rambam inside, and then once we get to the Rambam, then we'll have the first idea of the shir. So the Rambam says in source number 6, in the halacha, he brings down the 3 points of the Gemara. Uminayin shekorin al sefer Torah shenisraf. How do you know that you're chayev to do kriya, to tear your clothes when you, on a sefer Torah that's burnt? Shenamar, as it says, vayihi kikru yehudi shlosh delosos or arba. So when Yehoyakim read the 4 psukim, or when they were read to him, He threw it in the fireplace. Ad tom kol megillah alash halaisha sherlach v'lo pachtu v'lo karvus bigdam amelch v'chol avadov mechlal shechayevin likroa. So he learns out the first point, which is that the chi of kriya is learned out from the story and the fact that Yoyakim and the servants did not tear their clothes. Now the second point. V'ein chayevin likroa elal sefer Torah shenisraf bizroa k'maisa shahaya. The second point is that you're only chayev kriya in a situation where a sefer Torah is burnt forcibly. And the last point, v'chayev l'kroa shtei kriyos, achas al gvil v'achas al ksav. The last point is that you're chayev, when you see a sefer Torah that's burnt or burning, you're not just chayev one kriya, but you're chayev two kriyos, which is one is for the parchment, and the other one is for the lettering on the sefer Torah. Shenemar, acharei saraf ha-melech ha-samagila v'sadvarim. As it says in the Pasuk, after the melech burnt up the parchment and the words on the parchment. So the question is, there's 3 points here in the Rambam, and they echo the Gemara exactly. They're a little out of order from the Gemara, but there's 3 points. One is that you're chayev kriya whenever you see a sefer Torah that's burnt. And the second is that you're chayev two kriyos. One is for the parchment, and the other one is also for the lettering. And the third idea, which is strange, and the third idea in the Rambam, based on the Gemara, is that it's only, and I just did it out of order, but the Rambam says it's only if it's forcible. Only if somebody burns out the Sefer Torah in front of you and they're forcing, or they're forcibly burning it, but not if it's an accident. Let's say there was a fire in your house, for example, and a Sefer Torah was in your house and it got burnt up, you're not chayev to do kriya. So the question is, why not? So what is the idea of kriya by Sefer Torah? That's the main question. Okay, does anybody have any possibilities? Why is there a chiyev to tear your clothes when you see a burnt Sefer Torah? Okay, if nobody, you don't have to answer or try it. It's fine. I just want to open up the phone lines if anybody has a possibility. But I was thinking as follows, just an idea for, which is also a topic of the 3 weeks, because it's based on, by Shiva Sarbatamas, you see that one of the reasons we fast is because of the burning of a Sefer Torah. So why would you do Kriya? And why only if it's forcible? And why twice? So I think that the main idea here of kriya is that kriya is a reaction to recognizing the nature of a loss. So there are certain losses that are, you know, terrible losses, permanent losses, and a person's chayav to do kriya in order or as a reaction to recognizing the nature and the value of that loss, or the terrible nature of that loss. And that's the idea of kriya. That's why you're chayav kriya for your parents. When you lose your parents, it's not just about losing your parents, it's losing your, you know, the figure that's supposed to, kibud av aim is supposed to lead you to an idea about God. So too by your Rebbe. When your Rebbe teaches you Torah, dies, you're supposed to do kriya. It's a reaction. Kriya is the appropriate reaction when you recognize the nature of a certain type of loss, a certain quality of loss in the world. And when a Nasi dies also, there's a loss. And when the Av Beis Din dies, it's a tremendous loss. It's not a regular occurrence. It's in your mind, you should view it as a tremendous loss. So why are they learning out the chi of kriya from the lack of kriya? That's the question that we had. So I think that the story by Eicha is teaching you something about what the nature of the kriya is, which is that the idea of the burning of Yehoyakim of the Sefer Eicha was a denial of the ideas of Eicha. Meaning Eicha, when you hear Eicha, or when he heard Eicha, it was very traumatic, and normally when a person hears them, it should inspire them to do tshuva, but Yehoyakim and his servants, they couldn't accept the reality of the nevuah of Eicha, and they denied it. And the burning of the Sefer Torah, or the burning of Eicha, was really an idea of denying the reality of Eicha, the reality of the truth of Eicha and the nevuah of Eicha. And the lack of kriya and the lack of pacha, the lack of fear, are put together in the pasuk. It says, lo pachtu v'lo karas bigdam. So what do you see? You see from the story that the idea of the burning was tied to their reaction as well, which is that the idea of the burning was a denial of the truth of the nevuah of Eicha. And the lo pachtu and the lo karos bigdam was a furtherance of that idea, that they had no fear of the words of Eicha, of what was going to happen, and they didn't tear their clothes, meaning it had no effect on them. So what is the idea of kriya? Kriya is the opposite. Kriya is when you recognize that the Torah is functions to give us the truth and these realities, and we're supposed to accept that as a reality. And when it's burnt up, it's supposed to affect us. We're supposed to recognize the loss of the Torah in imbibing us and teaching us these truths. And the fact is that the reason why they're learning from Yirmiyahu is because the opposite took place. In burning the Sefer Torah, it's a denial of the Sefer Torah's true reality, to the Sefer Torah's truth, which is the ideas that Eicha and Yirmiyahu were trying to convey. They were in denial of it. You see that from the response of Yehoyakim. He keeps saying, Anamalka, I'm the king, meaning that this isn't going to happen. And when they burn it, they're lo pachtu, lo karas bigdam. They had no reaction. It didn't affect them at all. So it's the antithesis of that is kriya. Kriya is a recognition of the reality of the Torah. And when it's being burnt and denied, you have to recognize that loss. You have to recognize the loss of these ideas from affecting people when the Torah and when Eicha or Kisvei Kodesh is being burnt. It's demonstrating the lack of ability of the Torah to have an effect. So that's why, that explains why it's only forcible. Yeah, go ahead. Somebody had a question?
I wanted to ask, can it be done, not if all into any of these halachic categories, but let's say you really feel a loss of something.
Say it again, I'm sorry, say it again.
Can it be done if a person just feels a loss, a great loss, that's not exactly fit into any of these categories?
That's a good question. I mean, yeah, it can be done. It might not be a chiyuv. There might not be an obligation. It says chayv likro al rabba shlom de Torah. So it might not be an obligation, but it can be done for sure. Yeah, it's definitely. But the idea over here, yeah, so the idea over here is that these are considered objective losses, halachically, and that's why you're obligated to tear. You're obligated to recognize the loss when it occurs. When a Sefer Torah is being burnt, you're obligated to recognize the loss. But it's only when it's done forcibly, meaning if it's just an accident, from the story, there's the ostrich story where the guy left his tefillin and the ostrich was going to swallow it up. So you see over there that it's not the loss of the Torah, because you can always create a new Sefer Torah, or you can replace the Sefer Torah with another Sefer Torah. It's not a loss of the Sefer Torah, it's the kriya is a reaction to the denial of the reality of the Sefer Torah. And that's what burning of a Sefer Torah is. When somebody forcibly burns a Sefer Torah, what they're saying is that there's no truth to this Sefer. There's no truth to this. They're denying its truth. And the Kriya is a reaction to that loss, to the loss of the reality of the Torah, the loss of the importance or significance of its truth and its reality. It's not a simply a loss of the Torah, it's per se. It's not a loss of the idea of the Sefer, because you can, like I said, the Gemara shows you from the story that by the ostrich was going to eat up the tefillin, and he thought he was Chayav Kriya, but the Gemara says you're not Chayav Kriya, only if it's done forcibly. Why? Because the Chayav Kriya is only a reaction to a burning Sefer Torah that's done forcibly, because a burning Sefer Torah that's done forcibly is an act of denial of the truth of the Sefer Torah. And the Kriya is a response to that. It's a response to the loss of, not of the Sefer Torah, not of this particular Sefer Torah, but it's the loss of the reality of the Torah, the ideas of the Torah, the ideas that the Torah is trying to convey. So that's why you're doing Kriya. So that's why you won't do Kriya. You're not Chayav Kriya. Let's say if you have a Sefer Torah in your house, and your house burns down, and the Torah is in it, and your Torah accidentally burns down. You're not Chayav Kriya then, because it's true, it's terrible, and it's definitely a bad thing. It's not something that you should ascribe to or anything and aspire to. But on the other hand, the loss of a Sefer Torah, a Torah is an entity that can be replaced. But when a Sefer Torah is being burnt actively by somebody who's forcibly burning it, so it's a demonstration of the denial of it, of the truth of the Torah, denial of the reality of the ideas of the Torah. And that's why the Yoyakim burnt Sefer Eicha, and that's why you have to do Kriya. You have to do Kriya because you can't just sit there and just allow that to happen and not react. You have to recognize the opposite. You have to recognize the value of the Torah and its truth. And if you do that, then you'll feel the loss. You'll understand why this is such a great loss. Okay, so that's the idea. Why are you chayv twice? Why are you chayv two times? One is for the gvil and the other one is for the ksav. So what is that idea? So that's another point. So I think just to approach this, and then we'll do the Rav. The Rav has a piece on this. But just to approach this, perhaps the idea of the gvil and the ksav also fits in, which is that there's two losses of when you deny this, the reality or the truth of a Sefer Torah, there's two losses that need to be acknowledged or recognized. One is that the Sefer Torah itself, the entity, is an entity of perfection. It's a halachic entity. It was created by God. God gave the mitzvah of Sefer Torah, and he gave certain halachos and how to create a Sefer Torah, and it itself is an entity of perfection that reflects on God's system. But then there's the ksav. The ksav is the ideas, the ability of the Torah to convey the truth of the Torah. So when a person's denying the reality of Torah by burning a Sefer Torah, they're not just denying the ideas of it, but they're also denying the perfection of this halachic entity, the perfection of this Kisvei Kodesh itself. The fact that Hashem gave us this mitzvah and designed a Sefer Torah in a perfected way, so that's also lost in the burning of a Sefer Torah. So both ideas are conveyed, or both ideas need to be conveyed through Kriya. So you have to recognize the loss of the ideas of Torah when a person is denying its the truth by burning the Sefer Torah. And you also have to recognize the loss of this Sefer Torah and the perfection that a person is also denying when they're burning a Sefer Torah. They're denying the perfection of the Chetzah Shel Mitzvah, of this entity of mitzvah of the Sefer Torah as well, in burning the Sefer Torah. So our chiyuv is to react appropriately, which is to do Kriya. We can't just be lo pachdu. We can't be unaffected by the Torah, because we accept it as a complete truth and reality. And in fact, once you do that, so then you'll understand the loss when it's denied. When the ideas of Torah are denied, then you have to recognize the loss, the potential loss of the world in that action. Okay, so that's the idea. So again, just to summarize, the main point of the Chiyuv Kriya of the Sefer Torah is that you're chayv to do Kriya, not like Yoyakim and his servants, because they were lo pachdu v'lo karas bigdam, meaning that the burning itself was a denial of the reality of Eicha's nevuas, because they couldn't accept it, and lo pachdu showed that it had no effect on them, meaning they didn't look at the Torah as real, they had no appreciation for the truth of the Torah itself. And the opposite is Kriya. Kriya is really the opposite, that if you recognize and you value and you understand the truth of the Torah and the value of the Torah, then you'll understand the loss over here in this situation in its denial. And you have to understand, you have to accept the loss in its denial. But if it's just by accident, there's no chiyuv kriya. And also you're chayv twice. You're chayv for the gvil and the klaf, because there's two ideas that are lost or being denied in burning of the Sefer Torah. One is the mitzvah itself, the cheftah shel mitzvah, the entity of a sefer Torah, and the other is the ksav, which is the conveyance of the ideas of the Torah, the conveyance of Eicha, for example. So that's the other idea. Okay? So there's one other point that's also related to Tisha B'Av and the 3 weeks. So there's a piece by the Rav in source number 7. So in Daf al Daf, which is one of the Mefarshim on the Gemara, he brings down this piece. So he says, Kasav b'sefer mepnine harav. So it says in the Sefer called Mepnine Rav, which is about the, which was basically the Rav's ideas about the Rav Soloveitchik, Misbar Mikan, Shebishah Shesorfin Sefer Torah, Gama Klaf, Vigam Haksav, Nisrafim Haim Be'esh. So it sounds like from our Gemara that both the Ksav and the Klaf, the parchment and the letters, are both being burnt when the Sefer Torah is burnt. But there's a question. V'hikshah grid Soloveitchik. So the Rav asks the question, Zalmi Boston. So he was from Boston, and he asked this question. Me'agamara ba'avodah zarah. There's a famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Shematzu l'Rav Chananya ben Tradyon. The story was by Rav Chananya ben Tradyon, who's one of the Asara Ahrui Gamalchus. Shaya Yoshev Osek b'Torah. He was learning Torah. Makil kihilos rabos. So he gathered up people to teach Torah to. V'sefer Torah munach lo b'cheko. He had a Sefer Torah by him, by his chest. He vi'uhu v'karchu b'sefer Torah. So they found him, the Romans found him, and they wrapped him in the Sefer Torah, v'hikifu b'chavileis muros, and they wrapped him in vines, v'hatsisu b'hanasor, and they lit him on fire. So this is a famous, really sad story that we mentioned on Tisha B'Av as well. And it's a story about Rav Chananya ben Tradyon, that he was really involved in learning and teaching, and the Romans came and they wrapped him up in vines. Amru lo tamidav, ma taroa. So as he was being burnt, his talmidim, his students, were there, and they said, "What do you see as you're being burnt?" And he said, "Amar lahem, gevilin nisrafin v'osios porchos. The parchment is being burnt, but the letters are in the air. They're like dancing in the air, and they're flying off the page." Hare misbar shebishasha anachrim sorfim es haTorah raka klaf bor ba'esh. So the Rav's question was that you see from the story of Rav Chananya ben Tradyon that when the Sefer Torah is being burnt, so only the parchment is burnt, but not the letters, because he said that, what did he see? He saw the letters in the air, in midair, and they were dancing. So it's a stira to the Gemara of Moed Katan. So the question the Rav's asking is a sharp question. The Gemara Moed Katan says that when you see a Sefer Torah burning, you're chayev to do kriya, and you're chayev to do twice, two kriyos, two tearings. One is for the parchment, and the other one's for the letters, for the ksav. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us a story about Rav Chananya ben Tradyon, that he was wrapped up in the Sefer Torah, he was burnt, and they asked him what he saw, and he saw the letters in midair, and only the klaf was being burnt. So why do you do a kriya for the klaf, the ksav being burnt, if the ksav is not really being burnt? So what's the idea of the Gemara over there as opposed to our Gemara? So he gives a good answer, and I just want to explain what he's saying. But the Rav says like this, "Ubepshuto hayanir lechalik bein torah shebiksav levein torah shebal peh." So there's a difference between torah shebiksav and torah shebal peh. Torah shebiksav is written, and torah shebal peh, until the time of the Mishnah, the Gemara, was always oral. The torah shebiksav shegadru ksav agabe klaf, shegadru ksav agabe klaf. Pshita shebishar shesor from a klaf yisrafus osios. So torah shebiksav, which is the mitzvah, and the nature of the mitzvah, is that it be on klaf. So it's pashut that when it's burnt, the cloth is burnt, and so are the letters. The Gemara Moed Katan Amidubar Hu Asrifas Megillas Eicha. The Gemara in Moed Katan is talking about the burning of Eicha. The Al Haru Sefer Torah Shenisraf, and it's talking about a Sefer Torah that's being burnt. That Yuchayev Kriya Shehim Torah Shebichsav. That's the Torah that's written. Achein Beuvda the Rav Chananya Ben Tradyon. But the story of Rav Chananya Ben Tradyon, Afa Pi Shehaya Sefer Torah Munach Lo Becheko. Even though he had the Sefer Torah, Bevada He Doresh Drushel Shal Torah Shebal Peh. He was learning it. He was analyzing the Torah. He wasn't just reading it, but he was using it as a method of analysis to try to learn out halachos, philosophy, like the Gemara of Al Torah Shebal Peh Hiskavin Atana Baamro Shosios Porchos Baavir. That's what the Gemara means. That the letters were dancing, were in midair. It means that as he was being burnt, it means that the idea of the letters, it's not the letters of the Torah Shebichsav, it's the letters of the Torah Shebal Peh. Right? So that's what he saw. So what's that idea? What's the Rav teaching us? What's the point of the Rav? So the Rav's saying that there's two ideas of Torah. There's the physical Torah, that's the Torah Shebichsav, and then the Torah Shebal Peh is all the concepts that can be derived from the Torah itself, from the written Torah. And Torah Shebichsav isn't physical, by its nature. Torah Shebaal Peh, sorry, Torah Shebaal Chsav is a physical entity. It's a Sefer Torah itself, but Torah Shebaal Peh are the ideas of the Torah, and you can't, there's no physicality to the ideas of the Torah. The idea of why Shanis is a problem philosophically. The idea of Tefillin, why Tefillin was set up the way it was. The ideas of Tzitzis, all these mitzvos that are brought out in the Gemara, and the Gemara analyzes. So all those concepts and ideas, they're not subject to physicality. They're non-physical. They're ideas. They're concepts. So the point is of the Gemara by Avodah Zarah, by Rav Chanan ben Tradyon, is that what does it mean that he saw the letters? It means that the Torah itself, the physical Torah, might have been burning, and you might have recognized that, but the ideas of the Torah, which are concepts, which can't be burnt, those ideas he was involved in. Those ideas, they can't be burnt. You can't burn the ideas of the Torah. You can burn the physicality of the Torah, but you can't burn the concepts and all the many ideas that emerge from the Torah. Those are not things that can be burnt. Those are not things that can be destroyed. They exist outside of the physicality. And that's the idea of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Okay, so that's the idea. So again, so the Rav's point is a good point, a beautiful point. He's saying that you do Kriya. Kriya is a reaction to the loss of a Torah Shebichsav, to the loss of the physical Torah and its ability to convey truths to people. But the reality of those truths and those ideas that emerge from the Torah, that emerge from Eicha, those ideas are not physical. They have no physicality. Those are ideas that exist in reality and can never be destroyed, and can never be completely destroyed because they're not subject to physicality. Okay? All right, so we have limited time here, so I just want to do one last point, just more of a halachic point, and then I'll summarize the shiur. I'm going to skip source number 8. Maybe we'll take it up on a different shiur. But source number 8 is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah talking about Rav Chananya ben Tradyon. And it shows you, just to summarize it just a little bit, it shows you over there, if you read through the Gemara on your own, it shows you the way that he related to the Sefer Torah, that it really conveys the fact that he was wrapped in the Sefer Torah, and he says that he feels comforted, that he's with the Sefer Torah. It shows you that he really valued, he understood the value of the Sefer Torah fully. Meaning it was the antithesis of Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim denied the reality of the Sefer Torah and its value, and Rav Chananya ben Tradyon, who was engaged in it, and who was wrapped in it and burnt in it, so he had the opposite. He really recognized the true value of the Sefer Torah to the point where even when he was being burnt, he recognized its value. He recognized its true value. So look at that Gemara on your own, and maybe we'll take it up in a different shiur. So the last point is just, there's halacha that I was looking up, and I wanted to see what the source was. So the halacha is a Sefer Torah that somebody drops. So the question is there's a famous, people have this idea that you're supposed to fast 40 days, and I was looking into it, and nobody really says 40 days, but the question is there a concept that you're chayv to fast if somebody's in the, let's say somebody's in shul and they drop the Torah, is there an idea of fasting? So really the source is brought down from the Magen Avraham. It's based on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that a person's not allowed to fall asleep with his tefillin on. Look in source number 10. Kol zman shetefillin barosho obizro asher lishon behem afilushin asarai. So anytime you have tefillin on your arm or your head, you can't fall asleep in them. Ela iminiach lehem sudar, if you cover them. V'lo haisa imo isha, there's no woman there. Yashon behem shin asarai. Then you can fall asleep temporarily. V'chetzadu oseh, what does he do? Miniach rosho ben birkov, put your head in between your knees. V'hu yoshe v'yashin, then he can fall asleep temporarily. Then he says, hayut tefillin kruchen biyado, let's say they're wrapped in his hand. Mutar lishon v'ham afilu shinas keva. Then you can, if it's not really on you, if it's wrapped in your hand, then you can fall asleep, even a permanent sleep. V'im ochson biyado v'einchem kruchen biyado, let's say you're holding the tefillin in your hand, but they're not wrapped on your hand. Aser lishon v'ham afilu shinas arai. Then you can't fall asleep in them, even temporarily. V'dafka kisha ochson below near talkin, only if you're holding it outside of its bag. But if it's in a tefillin bag, of al b'ner talkin, b'chol inyan shari. So why is that? Why can you fall asleep with your tefillin in your hand, holding your tefillin? So Magen Avraham says that you're worried that the person, first he says that you're worried that a person's going to relieve himself or fart when he's, and that's a problem. But then he says, ha'itar lo kasev el d'luchashin lafacha k'shem ben artikan, v'ramachide sh'lashema yiplu nami luchashina ben artakan. So the reason why, another possibility is that you're afraid that they're going to fall out of your hand because you're sleeping. But when they're in the bag, you're not choshesh for that. So he quotes the Mishpatei Shmuel, one of the Achronim, Kosov, Ktsas, Smach, Lomashinago, Olam, Lis, Anos, Kishinoflu, Tfilin, Al Arts. There's a Smach, there's a a support for the idea that you're supposed to fast when tefillin fall on the ground. V'hu adin kishin nafal sefer Torah, so too when a sefer Torah falls. Ayin sham. V'tzarech lomar demari below near talking of al b'sefer Torah, filo b'ner talking, even if a sefer Torah has a cover on, you're still chayav to fast. So they learn out from the idea that if tefillin fall down, that you have to be careful, and you can't let tefillin fall down. They learn out from that, that if a sefer Torah falls down, you're supposed to fast. And in fact, he doesn't bring it down, the Magen Avraham doesn't bring it down, but when I was doing some research, the Mishpatei Shmuel quotes our Gemara as the source for fasting, that you're not chayav kriya, but you're still chayav to fast. So they want to learn out from here, from our Gemara, that even though you're not chayav kriya, because it's not, When a Sefer Torah falls, it's not an active denial of the truth of the Sefer Torah. It's just a negligence with regard to the Sefer Torah. So you're not Chayav Kriya. You're only Chayav Kriya when somebody forcibly destroys the Sefer Torah because it's a demonstration of the denial of the truth of the Sefer Torah. And that's when you have to respond with Kriya. But when a Sefer Torah falls, there still is an imperfection there because you weren't careful with Kisvei Kodesh. So perhaps they're learning that even though you're not Chayav Kriya, there still is a Chiyav to fast. You still have to do tshuva, you have to do introspection because you have to work on yourself and realize that a Sefer Torah's value is such that you can't be careless with it. You have to be careful with it. So the halacha of fasting by a Sefer Torah that falls in shul is somewhat based on our Gemara by a Sefer Torah that's burning. Of course, like I said, you're not Chayav Kriya if you see a Sefer Torah fall, but perhaps you're Chayav Tshuva, and the idea of fasting is always tied to Tshuva because you have to recognize the value of the Sefer Torah demands that you be extremely careful with it when you're holding it. Okay, so that's the shiur tonight. So let me just summarize. So the shiur is really 3 weeks' topic, but there's three ideas in this shiur, and they're really tied to the idea of burning the burnt Sefer Torah. So the first idea is the idea of kriya, that there's an idea of chiyav kriya, and there's three unique halachos. One is that you're chayav kriya, the second is that you're chayav two kriyos, and the third is that it's only if it's forcible. So we add an idea there, we add a concept. The concept is that when a Sefer Torah is being burnt by somebody forcibly, it's an active denial of the value of the Sefer Torah, its importance, and the reality of its words. And that's why you're chayav kriya, because the kriya is always an idea of recognizing the loss. And here there's a tremendous loss when a person is actively denying the truth and value and reality of the Torah. And it's a tremendous loss. So that's why you're chayav kriya, similar to the chayav kriya by avelus, by your parents. It's a recognition, a reaction to a certain type of loss. And why you chayav twice? Because there's two ideas in Sefer Torah. There's the perfection of the Torah, of the parchment, and then there's the perfection of the ideas that it conveys, and that's the ksav. The second point of the shir was the Rav's point, which is that we distinguish between Torah Shebichsav and the physical Torah and the ideas of Torah. The ideas of Torah, which are Torah Shebaal Peh, which are all the ideas that emerge from the Torah Shebichsav, those are not subject to destruction. But the Torah Shebichsav itself, the sources of those ideas, is subject to destruction and denial through the burning of a Sefer Torah. So that's why you're Chayav Kriya twice. And that answers the story by Rav Chananya ben Tradyo. And the last point is the idea of fasting. If a Sefer Torah falls, the source for fasting for a Sefer Torah falling, when you look into it, I don't think you have to fast for 40 days, but you certainly should fast perhaps for one day, is an idea in Tshuva, that when a person sees a Sefer Torah fall, you might not be Chayav Kriya because it's not a loss, it's not a denial of the Torah, because you can replace a Sefer Torah, you can fix a Sefer Torah, but it's an idea that a person has to be careful with the Sefer Torah and not and understand its value. And that's certainly recognized from our Gemara as well, that a person has to value a Sefer Torah with a certain level of stringency, especially when they're holding and carrying a Sefer Torah. All right, so that's the end of the shiur. So everybody have a good Shabbos. Thank you for calling in.
Okay. Can I have a quick question?
Sure, no problem.
If you see the Sefer Torah fall, why do you have to pass it from the office
to the what'd you say?
If you see the
Sefer Torah
fall, why do you have to fast if somebody else is
jumping? That's a good question. That's machlokes achronim, whether or not you have to fast. So some shittas say you don't have to fast because you weren't careless. Other shittas say that, that's a good question. I don't know, it's a good question. I mean, why, if you're just watching the Sefer Torah falling, why you have to fast? I don't know, it's a good question. It could be that, I mean, it wasn't your